sell them.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to set my stuff up for a second, so talk amongst yourselves if you like, or whatever you want. Yeah, I was going to say, like, you guys obviously have really great pastors and leaders here, so I don't really know Matt very well, but he knows my father-in-law, so that's a good sign. So my wife Emma was a pastor's kid and spent a long time over at Erina when Matt was there, so he's obviously a good guy. And obviously Luke and I used to live together when we were at Bible College together, which is always a great time. So I've got lots of stories, if you'd like to hear them, but I think you guys really cherish to actually have a guy like Luke here. He's got so much love for this church. Every time I hear him speak about ministry, he's always got such joy and a warmth in his heart. So I don't want to say you're lucky, but I think you guys are pretty lucky to have someone like Luke here. So let me pray, and then why don't we just get stuck into forgiveness, hey? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all that you have for us, and thank you for the way that you always come back to our heart and seek to show us who you truly are and who you truly could be in you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus, and I just pray now as we open your word and have a look at some really core values today. I just really pray you inspire our heart to seek after you more, open our ears to hear this, and allow us to see more and more of your vision in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you ever noticed that in the human search for connection and for purpose, for value, we often look toward objects over relationship? Like, when you think about it, we often look toward all sorts of objects instead of relationships with people. Like, in our search to have a purpose, we have hobbies instead of relationships. In our search for joy, we find, like, TV and Netflix and all sorts of things like that for purpose and joy. Have you ever noticed that? Like, why is it that us humans find it so much easier to choose objects over relationships with people? And as I started thinking about this sort of stuff, I realized actually it's because objects never let you down. Have you noticed that humans have this intrinsic ability to frustrate you? Like, realistically? I remember, I've always found it so funny that churches always have a cemetery outside. Yeah, the old school church. And they always have those perfectly aligned things. Like, the cemetery always is in perfect lines. Why? Because we love to organize things so much, but people get in the way. Like, churches are messy. I've been loving, like, just how, like, joyful this, like, community is here. Like, the kids down the front making a noise. It's, like, it's beautiful, but it's messy. It's, like, if you're honest, it's kind of annoying sometimes, right? Like, people, they get in the way, right? Well, I mean, that's why we look towards other things to actually find our purpose and joy, because people let us down. Am I right in saying that? People will let us down. And, like, usually, when you think about it, our most unique spiritual moments, our most unique spiritual expressions of faith, we have to kind of get people out of the room, right? We have to kind of go, like, into nature to look at trees and see the creation of God, or look into the ocean. Well, why is that? Well, because a tree can't disappoint you. It's a tree, yeah? Whereas people, they can disappoint you. Have you noticed that, like, I actually think when people kind of make religion this, like, weird religious thing, right? When people kind of turn it into this, like, spiritual expression, right? Not really a relationship. It's more of a, like, a, you know, I pray to the wind. You ever know people like that? Like, oh, I pray to the wind. It gives me joy. It gives me purpose, right? Well, I think it's because, right, if God is a person, if God is Jesus and Jesus is human, well, guess what? There's a chance that he can let us down. And so I don't want to be let down. So I pray to the wind. The wind makes me have joy, because wind is just wind. It can't let me down. Now, I'm not saying I pray to the wind. I pray to Jesus. But, you know, the wind, it won't let us down. Whereas Jesus, if we're being real, people look at Jesus. He's a human. Humans have let us down. And so guess what? I don't want to do that because it could hurt me. Yeah? Does that make sense? Making sense? Thank you. I get two nods. That's good. All right. Well, I think in the middle of the most divine conversations God has about his theological truth around forgiveness, he always connects it back to people. Like, check this out. If you have your Bibles, and it's one verse, so I'm sorry, you probably don't want to get your Bibles out for this, but in Ephesians 4, Paul's just been teaching the church in Ephesus about how to live together and how to have joy and live in perfect community together. But right at the end, catch this, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you. It's like the most divine theological doctrine that God has forgiven us is linked just as Christ forgave us, we need to forgive others. But it's interesting, right? Like, I think you know this. I'm pretty sure you know this. But the most, like, central theme of theology that we have is our need to be forgiven, right? Most of us know this. If you don't know this, if you've gone to church for a while, you missed out something pretty big, right? Is that inherently in the Christian message, core to all that Jesus is he tells us that we need to be forgiven. Yes? People still get that. Yes. All right. Well, what I love about that is that it's a weird relationship to start out with, right? Like, the relationship with Jesus starts out by us actually acknowledging that we need to be forgiven, which is weird because that means that we have to admit something is wrong with us. And that is not a common, like, scenario for, like, a relationship to start. Right, think about it. You're hanging out with someone new. Maybe you're on a date. The first thing you say is, oh, by the way, I'm the most horrible person you'll ever meet. You think you're going to get a second date? No, right? But something beautiful about Jesus is that that is exactly how we start our relationship. I used to have an old car, a 1989 Nissan Pathfinder. Beautiful car, okay? I bought it for $1,500. If you know anything about four-wheel drive, you never get a car for that cheap. For any good reason except that it's probably got a lot of character, yeah? So when I used to drive this car, it was beautiful, right? You'd turn right, and you'd hear this like noise every time you turn right. You turn, right? On the highway, you start hearing some weird noises. You just turn the radio up so that you don't like hear that stuff, because you get really scared if you start listening to that. I remember, I actually was driving this car the day before we got married to my wife Emma, and it was really, really hot. And of course, there's no aircon in this beautiful thing. And so I left my mum's house in Newcastle to drive to the Surf Coast. And I was actually dehydrated. When I got to my mum's house, I was like, ah, I need water. Right? This car didn't have any suspension. Like, literally, the back would just, like, hit the ground as you went over a bump. Right? And also, the most beautiful thing, right, is that it would also have this, like, broken seat. Because the last guy who owned the car was quite large, and so when he got in, he kind of broke the chair, so you drive it like this, because this side is broken, so you sit like this the whole time. It's kind of cool, though, when you think about it. You might hear, like, a really scary car. I hear a lot of character, right? It's beautiful. You can't beat it. Anyway, but so one time, obviously you need suspension, so me and my friend Hayden Gribble went to go fix this car. Went to the Budgeroy Car Records, right, like up the road here. And we're trying to fix the suspension, like, all day. The thing was, the nuts were, like, so rusted on, but they were not moving. So we gave up, and I thought, well, I'm going to make something out of today. I'm going to at least fill the car up with petrol. And so we went to the petrol station in Budgeroy, and this car had LPG, right? Not just, like, unleaded or diesel. It had this, like, special, like, petrol called LPG, or liquid petroleum gas, right? And what that means is, like, rather than just, like, putting the Bowser in, what you have to do is, like, screw it on, right? I've never done it before. It's my first time ever doing it. I was really excited to do it because it's so much cheaper, right? Instead of, like, $1.50, it's, like, 80 cents a litre. Like, fabulous. Anyway, so I screwed it on, but I couldn't unscrew it, right? And I don't know if you've ever been stuck to a petrol station before, but it's not what you want when you're in Budgeroy, right? If you're only stuck to a petrol station in Budgeroy. And so, like, we were, like, trying our best to, like, unscrew this thing, but it wouldn't come off. Now, I don't know if you've ever, like, seen a damsel in distress before, but Budgeroy is not very accommodating to damsel in distress, especially when they're 20 years old, wear skinny jeans and round glasses, right? So they didn't care much for us. I even met, like, the petrol station attendant out, who was a lady, and she was, like, trying her best, and I'm like, oh, I'm so strong right now. I have this, like, young lady who's, like, doing this for me, and she couldn't get it off, and so we're sitting there, like, we're trying to, like, get this thing off, and we had our shirts off, which is also not a great sight, like, trying to get more traction on this thing. And eventually, like, these locals arrived, and they were laughing at us. Like, a whole carload of P-platers were like, look, this guy is stuck on the petrol station, right? I don't know if you've ever been stuck to a petrol station, but it's a weird scenario to have. So I was like, what are we going to do? The sun is going down. We've been at the petrol station for literally hours. Nothing has worked. We've been, like, trying our best to, like, get this thing off. And then I knew, right, salvation has come to Budgeroy. See, a Land Cruiser arrived. And no, I don't even know much about people who drive Land Cruisers, Luke. But they're pretty tough, right? And I knew something was good here. We didn't just drive the Land Cruiser to the Bowser. No. He backed the boat into the Bowser. So I'm like, this guy's a man's man, right? I'm not a man's man, but this guy's a man's man. Here we go, this is good, right? And so he gets out, and of course, it's a huge boat, a huge car, but not a very big man, which is not a surprise. But anyway, so he gets out, and I go up to him, and I was like, oh, there's no way he's going to help me unless I ask, right? So I go up to him, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I know that you want to do a beautiful day of boating or whatever it is that you've got ahead of yourself, but can you just give me one second in time? I'm just stuck to the petrol station. Can you just help? You know? His exact words were,
yeah, let's give her a try, mate, hey?
And so after I've been like going like this all day, would you believe it? He comes along and it just comes off. Who are you? You are my angel. The thing about following Jesus is not that we just get whatever we want. We actually have to come and ask Jesus for forgiveness, right? We have to acknowledge that we're stuck and we're broken. We actually need to ask for forgiveness. Core to the message of Jesus is that we need to be forgiven. We actually need to ask for forgiveness. Does that make sense? Asking is key to this most core central value of the gospel, forgiveness. The second thing, though, I think, what I love is that he always connects it back to humans, right? What I love is Jesus, even in the most divine theological truth about forgiveness, he makes a human connection, right? You see, because it might sound like having Jesus in our life is enough for us, but actually what Jesus says is, no, you're not just designed for a relationship between you and me, you're designed for a relationship with humanity as well. And so in the same way that there has to be a relationship between like the Father and I, there has to be a relationship between you and me as well. And so it also has to be this forgiving relationship. And forgiveness is such a weird, like, concept when you think about it. Like, humanly, I mean, like, theologically, I understand that we need forgiveness, but humanly, it's a weird concept to think that we humans need humans to forgive us. Does that make sense? Like, it's actually kind of weird when you think about it. Growing up, I remember that my dad had a relationship with his brother that had fallen through. And I didn't know what it was about. Right? All I knew was that my dad had wronged my uncle. And they didn't speak. I'm talking for like a decade sort of thing. I was a kid until like primary school, until they resolved it. And I remember seeing my dad like all the time, really upset and really distraught because he'd done something wrong and his brother wouldn't forgive him, right? He was really hurt by that. I don't know if anyone here has been in that situation, but it really, really sucks, right? And I remember like, you know, we're Greek, so there was a great feast when we were reunited. Greeks do great feasts, I'm not sure if you noticed. But it seems to me that it's so bizarre that another human could have such a, like, a hold on your heart by just the ability to not forgive you. Like, actually, like, it's such a weird thing that we can actually be so like held in our way because somebody else won't forgive us when we've done the wrong thing. It has a hold on our soul. Like, humanly, it makes no sense, right? Unless, surely, this is linked to our image, our identity as being made in the image of God. But actually, this is something that's not just human, not just something that has to happen between people, but actually, spiritually, in our being, in our likeness to the image of God, actually, it's linked to our soul in a way. See, there must be something more going on. The human connection is all about making sure that we are new created beings in this relationship of forgiving others. See, ultimately, unforgiveness will polarize us. Right? It'll actually make us distant and will affect every relationship we have. See, because if we don't forgive one person or we're not forgiven by one person, every relationship is marred. Does that make sense? Like, every other relationship we have is marred because we can't forgive one. In the same way that we need to be forgiven, we also need to forgive. There's a really cool story in Matthew 18 where Peter comes to Jesus to ask him a question of how many times we need to forgive people. Now, I love Peter because Peter reminds me a lot of me. He's like really brash and impulsive and his heart's in the right place, but he'll often say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. Like, there's a whole ear thing in the garden. Peter, calm down. You know, and he comes to Jesus, how many times do we need to forgive him? Do we need to forgive somebody 7 times? And I love this part because Peter's thinking, I am so smart. I'm going to go show Jesus that I've been reading my Bible and I'm better than the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, they taught that you only forgive someone 3 times, right? And so he's like, I'm doing better than the Pharisees. I'm going to show Jesus that I've read my Bible because the number 7 is like linked, if you know your Hebrew, linked to the number of completion. Right? That's why we have 7 days. The world is completed. Complete, right? Creation is complete. And so he's like, do we need to forgive someone seven times? In other words, do we need to forgive someone completely? And so he's thinking, I'm so smart. I'm going to go show Jesus, and he's going to love me. I'm going to be his favorite disciple. I'm going to replace John. It's going to be a good time, right? And Jesus goes, no, Peter. You need to forgive them 77 times. Some of you, because I just say 70 times 7. And some of you get Jesus in the corner and go, okay, 70 times 7 is 450 times. Sorry, 450 times, right? But what Jesus is saying actually is, you need to forgive someone 77 times, not just completely, but so many so that we can't keep count how many times we forgive somebody, right? We're going to be forgiving people again and again and again until it makes no sense to make a fool out of us, and we're just completely and utterly forgiving people. Does that make sense, right? We need to keep forgiving people. Now, I just want to be really, really clear right now and say we're not talking about unhealthy relationships and abusive relationships. I know, we're the church, right? So I know that we've made mistakes in horrible cases of domestic violence and other forms of abuse. Where you say, you just need to forgive your husband, you just need to forgive your wife, you know, because we forgive you, right? We've got to forgive. Well, we're not called to trust. Luckily, we have God who's on his throne, and he's a really good God and a just God, and he's really great at justice. And so it's our job to love and forgive, not our job to commit and release. You know, it's our job to stand up for the unjust and stand up for the poor and stand up for the broken. Right? It's not our job to explain away bad behavior and just think it's nothing in our forgiveness. No, we need to forgive bad behavior, but we also need to be loving and understanding of the broken. Does that make sense? So please don't misconstrue forgiveness as acceptance of really poor behavior. So forgiveness is a human connection, right? There's a divine connection, but there's also in the human connection. I actually think there's great power in forgiveness. I believe this is because forgiveness kind of speaks into our soul. Like, actually, there's a language on our soul that is actually forgiveness. See, I believe people are controlled by guilt and shaming as well. Like, I've known so many people who just have this narrative over their life that they'll never achieve anything, that they'll never be able to do anything because, like, guilt and shame is just written all over their life. And there's this little dialogue in Luke 17, and it's great. I'll read it out for you guys, right? In verses 3-5, it says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, right? Go and talk to them. Like, actually go and talk to them. Don't do it like, I'm a millennial, right? So we're really great at telling everybody else when someone offends us, right? We're really good at going, you know, Karen, she's such a horrible person. And then, you know, Karen finds out of James, and, you know, go talk to them, right? Actually, like, in our conflicts, don't talk to people, yeah? Right? If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. That's another way of saying talk to them about it. Right? And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times, yeah, that's seven times. Who's getting that many times in one day? Kind of put some things in place if you're getting offended seven times in one day, I'm saying. Like, don't let it get to seven. But, you know, maybe after three, leave the room. You know, something, if you're still saying horrible things. But even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times they come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Do you ever know someone like that? Like someone who just does the same stuff over and over and over and over and over and over again? Like, they're just always doing the same stupid things. I have a lot of this in my family. I like to think that I'm the smartest person in my family, which is true. But my brother is, he's just doing silly things all the time. And at the moment, he's trying to, like, watch his weight, and then he keeps getting Uber Eats and eating all these horrible burgers. You think, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? You know, is he going to forgive them again? But every time they're so apologetic and they're so sorry, you're going to forgive them, yeah? Well, I actually think, right, one of the most powerful expressions of Jesus' love in this world is our ability to forgive people. Right? Forgiveness is so core to this because actually it says something really, really powerful. It actually says that their failure is not more powerful than our forgiveness. You know, so many times, people, when they hurt us or when we're hurt by people, they are taught that actually, no, that's the end. You're not good enough anymore. You know? But actually, our forgiveness, spurred on by God, is actually more powerful than their failure. And I think that's what we really need to hear tonight or today. I'm used to preaching at night time, so today is that forgiveness is more powerful than their failure. And so maybe forgiveness is not actually a chore, but actually the most beautiful and vivid, tangible expression of God's love in this world. But actually, people who are full of hate and full of hardship need to hear that our forgiveness is more powerful than their hardship. And it's like, watch people melt as we do that. But what do the disciples say? in response to Jesus in verse 15 when he says you must forgive him so many times? They say increase our faith. Which is quite weird, right? Because we often link increase our faith to like most spiritual things in the world, yeah? Like increase our faith, move that mountain, Lord, you know? Or you know, we need to raise money for that mission trip. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. Which is a beautiful thing to pray for. But man, if you want to love people, increase our faith, you know? Because people are hard. People are going to hurt us. People are going to break us. And we need to increase our faith in order to actually show the love of God in this world, yeah? You see, the hardest thing we will ever do is show love to people, because it's incredibly hard and it's incredibly selfish, because people are selfish. Right? We need to be selfless in that. But I believe that Jesus wants to create a new humanity in us, so that we are the expression of a new humanity, that the church is the one showing the true love in this world. And so if we can't forgive, who can? Right? If we can't do this, we can't show the world that our forgiveness, the love of God is more powerful than anything they have, then who can? I think forgiveness is the core message. See, in Jesus we find forgiveness, we find the power to forgive, we find peace, we find love. We find our connection back to humanity. We can forgive because we've been forgiven. It's actually the divine connection back. In Jesus we find that actually forgiveness isn't a chore, but it's a joy. Because we get to proclaim that our God loves them. If people who are far from God, people who hate God, people who hate the church, people who hate us, if we forgive them, we're more powerful than their hate. And that shows something real that they would never, ever, ever be able to experience. So I think let's just show this world Jesus one forgiveness at a time. And this morning, I'm just going to invite you to forgive. We're going to pray. So if you just want to close your eyes just to pray, I'm not going to get you to do anything. I'm just going to ask you to pray at all. And you might think, I don't know who to forgive this morning. You might think long and hard about who's hurt you. You might think long and hard about who you need to forgive. But you might even come to church this morning and go, I already know who I have to forgive. I had an argument this morning. Or you might know that you have a broken relationship for years that you don't even know what you're fighting about anymore. Maybe you just need to forgive yourself. You know, maybe you're thinking, I'm so sinful, I'm so broken. Maybe you just need to forgive yourself this morning. To hear that actually that the narrative of guilt and shame is not as powerful as the love of Jesus and his passion for you and his ability to forgive you. Maybe you just need to forgive yourself this morning. But I just ask, let's just in a few seconds now, why don't you just spend some time thinking, who can I forgive this morning? Is it myself? Is it a relationship? Who can I forgive? No, I'll pray in a bit. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I just pray now that as we come back to you and ask your forgiveness, that you really highlight to us how much you love us and how much you want to forgive us when we are broken and when we are hurt and when we don't know just how horrible we are to you, just how horrible we are, that you still show us love. And Heavenly Father, I pray now for relationships that need to be mended through forgiveness, through hard conversations that need to be had. And you know, maybe there needs to be things to put in place, but Lord, I pray that we would proclaim that your forgiveness is more powerful than failure. It's more powerful than selfishness. It's more powerful than hatred. And I just pray this morning, you really embolden us to show your love in this world. Remind us that forgiveness is the core message. That it's our connection to humans, and actually this ability to be able to forgive is inherently a missional thing, Lord, that we can show your love by the way we forgive. So I pray for great peace upon Swansea Baptist this morning as we look to you and have our hearts glued to your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.